Today we have the privilege of studying the last parak in Sefer Yeshayahu, chapter Samech Vav, parak Samech Gim, chapter 66. This is the Haftarah for Shabbat, which falls on Rosh Chodesh, or Rosh Chodesh, which falls on Shabbat. This obvious reason for that is because it mentions Rosh Chodesh in the second to last pasuk of the parak. In a larger sense, the chapter deals with some of the larger, major themes from Sefer Yeshayahu. It is resumptive. It repeats themes and even phrases which we've seen in earlier prakim. And it specifically takes up a few themes from chapter 1, but even more than that, it takes up themes which we saw in chapter 65, immediately previously, and some of the themes in chapter 63, 64 as well. The chapter on the whole can be divided into three sections. The first six psukim describe the judgment that God is executing upon those who have not chosen God's ways. And the specific evil of the people who have chosen here is referring to those acts which are mentioned in chapter 65, the immediately preceding chapter. Specifically, the abandoning God by performing rituals to other gods. Then, the next section, from Pasuk Yud Dalet is a transitional pasuk, describes the benefits that God will bequeath upon Jerusalem in the future. After the judgment upon the evil, then the benefit to Jerusalem. The last several psukim, from Pasuk 14 and on, all the way till the end of the parak, describe a combination of those first two themes. It is the judgment against the wicked which leads directly and consequentially into the future benefit to Jerusalem. So the last section of the parak, last half of the parak really, from Pasuk 14 and on, is a new idea which combines judgment with the future benefit to Jerusalem. That's a fascinating section, which we'll get to as we go through the parak. Let's begin now with Pasuk Aleph. Ko amar Hashem, Hashamayim kis'i, v'ha'aretz hadom raglai, eze vayit asher tivnu li, v'eze makom menuchati. The chapter begins with one of the larger themes in Sefer Yeshayah. It's a theme that we saw in Parak Vav. So says God, the sky is my throne, the land is my footstool, what house can you build for me, what is the place of my rest? The implication here being that the temple is primarily designed as a place for humans to worship God, it is not actually the place where God dwells. And that idea is an attack on the whole ancient Near Eastern concept of the temple, which is the place where God dwells. And here the Navi is saying, Jews, be aware that your Beit HaMikdash is different than the other temples. It is not a place where God dwells. It is a place where you worship God. It's a place which God has allowed you to come near to Him. It is not a place where you need to build a nice house so that God can be comfortable, kivyachol. And the purpose of this is to indicate that sacrifices in and of themselves are insufficient. It is not that God eats the sacrifice and becomes satiated by it and then is nice to the people. Here is attacking a sort of conception of God as a human being which diminishes the glory of God. Rather, he is saying, be aware, I require more than just sacrifice. I require obedience because I am the sovereign of the universe. Pasuk Bet. Ve'et kol ele yediyasata, vayuchol ele ne'um Hashem. So all of these, God says, my hand has made, and all of these have come into being as a result of my command. Ve'el ze abit, el ani unche ruach v'chared al divari. To this I look, to one who is lowly, who is low of spirit, and who is trembling at my word. Someone who is not haughty, but rather sees himself as subservient to God, that is the desirable individual, not the one who participates in sacrificial cult with great ardor and fervor and excitement. This pasuk, of course, is also another indication of the basic principle stated in the Gemara, that b'chol makom shata motzei gedulato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shama ta motzei anav tenuto. Every place you find God's glory, you find mention of God's humility. The humility of God is the idea that God is concerned with individual humans, not just with the world as a whole. And so here, the first pasuk indicates that God is glorious in the heavens above. The second pasuk indicates that he looks down at those who are broken of spirit. That is one purpose of these pasukim. The other purpose is to indicate that not only does God is God kibyachol in the temple, but more than that, he is concerned with obedience, not just with temple sacrifice. Continuing pasuk gimel, one of the most pithy pasukim in all of Yeshaya, shochet hashor makeish, zoveh hase oref kelev, ma'ale mincha dam chazir. Mazkir levona mevarech alvin. Gam hema bacharu bedarcheihem uveshikutzeihem nafsham chafetza. So let's look at this pasuk in two sections. The first part seems to equate one who does sacrifice with one who does sins. It could also be understood as someone who, as indicating that not only does someone do sacrifice, but they also do sins, but I'm not sure that that's the simple meaning of the pasuk. One who, so the pasuk from pasuk Gimel, one who sacrifices, one who slaughters a bull, it is like he killed a human. One who offers a sheep, it is like he breaks the neck of a dog. One who brings a meal offering, it is like he offered pig blood. One who causes a mention of a spice to be placed on a sacrifice, it is as though he blesses for nothingness. So all these sacrificial actions, which seem to be very good actions, are here equated with terribly negative actions. Murder of a human being, or sacrificing or killing a forbidden animal, or blessing for nothingness. The idea that the sacrifices, in and of themselves, are totally insufficient. The sacrifices without intent, as we saw in Perek Aleph, are not enough to create a positive divine will. Sacrifices must be accompanied with the idea of tshuva, with the idea of loyalty to God. And the Navi indicates this in the last couple of words in the pasuk. Gam hema bacharu bedarcheihem uveshikutzeihem nafsham chafetza. The pasuk here emphasizes Gam here is somewhat problematic syntactically, but we can understand it as even more so. Even more so, they have chosen their own ways and their own abominations, their heart desires. The prophet is saying, these are not things that God desires, these are things that you desire, and you're doing them for your own benefit. So don't expect God to give you anything positive for them. Pasuk Dalet, Gamani efchar b'ta'alulehem, umugurotam avilahem. Yan karati ve'enone, dibarti ve'lo shameu, v'yasu hara be'inai, uv'asher lo chafatzli b'charu. Because they have chosen their own ways, I will choose their mockeries, and their that which they fear I will bring upon them. Because I have called out, and no one answers me, I have spoken, they do not listen. They do that which is evil in my eyes, and that which I do not choose, they choose. So the idea that people have chosen their own way, therefore God will follow them in this path, and bring upon them their mockery. Now that the idea of I will choose their mockery is somewhat enigmatic, but it seems to indicate that God will mock them. God will show them who's ruler as a result of them taking taking divine service mockingly. God will mock them. Pasuk Hey. Shim'u dvar Hashem acharedim el dvaro. Listen to the word of God, you who tremble at his word. So the Navi is now addressing those, that class of people whom he considers loyal to God. That class of people we saw spoken about in Prakim, in Perek Samech Hey most specifically. There God spoke about them as his chosen. Here he uses the formulation, those who tremble at his word. Amru acheichem soneichem menadechem leman shemi ichbad Hashem v'nireh v'simchatchem. Behem yevoshu. So, your brothers who hate you, who cast you out, say to you, for the sake of our own name, God will be glorified. So your brothers, in other words, those who reject, those who are acting inappropriately towards God, are nevertheless saying that God will be honored because of their own actions. In other words, perhaps because of their sacrifices. And your brothers are saying to you, we will see if you will in fact rejoice. These are the words of those who reject God, who are speaking to those who are God's chosen. Those who reject God, or those who act inappropriately towards God, are saying to their brothers who are God's chosen, for the sake of our own name, God will be honored, and we will see if you will in fact be happy. So those who act inappropriately towards God are mocking God's chosen here, and the answer is in the last two words, v'hem yevoshu, they will be embarrassed. That is how I parse the pasuk. There are other ways to divide the syntax here, which is quite difficult. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Kol sha'on me'ir, kol mehechal, a voice of great tumult from the city, a voice from the temple. What is the voice? The voice of Kol Hashem Mishalem Gmul Le'oivav, the voice of God paying a comeuppance to his enemies. Now, with these words, the prophet breaks for several psukim and stops speaking about the comeuppance of the enemies and now speaks about the reward to Jerusalem. Pasuk Zayin. Beterem tachil yalada, beterem yavo chevel la v'himlita zachar. Before any birth pangs come upon her, she has given birth. Before any travails come upon her, she has passed out a male child. So the idea of Jerusalem giving birth to her children. Pasuk Chet, Mishama kazot mira'a ka'ele, hayuchal eretz biyom echad im yivaled goy pa'am echad, ki chala gam yeladat zion et baneha. Who has heard like this? Who has seen something like this? Can the land tremble at once? Can a nation be born all at once? For Zion has had birth pangs and given birth to her children immediately. The idea of Yerushalayim having many, many children in it, Yerushalayim no longer being an abandoned city, but rather the reward to Yerushalayim proceeding directly and immediately. Pasuk Tet, Ha'ani ashbir velo olid yomar Hashem imani hamolid ve'atzarti amar elokayich. God asks a rhetorical question, can I stop the birth process in midstream? Or would I stop the birth process in midstream? Of course, human beings, tragically, this does happen. The birth process that once begins doesn't necessarily end in a live birth. Certainly before the advent of medicine, this was more common. Even today it happens, tragically. But the prophet is saying that for God this will not happen because God is infinitely more powerful than human beings and does not stop in the middle a process that he begins. So can I begin birth? Does my water break and I do not give birth, says God? Or do I sit at the birthstool and do I not give birth, says God? Do I birth and stop, says your God? And the idea that it is God who is causing Eretz Yisrael, causing Yerushalayim to have its children nearby. We saw this theme in the previous chapters. The prophet is praying for the restoration of Jerusalem, despite the fact that I believe these chapters are referring to the period of Ezra and Nehemiah. Nevertheless, Jerusalem is more or less an abandoned city, even in that time. Pasuk Yud. Simchu et Yerushalayim v'gilu ba kol ohaveha, sisu ita masos kol hamitabelim aleha. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be happy in it, all those who love her. Rejoice upon it, great rejoicing, all those who mourn for her. Why? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Leman tinku usfatem mishod tanchumeha, leman tamotsu vihit annagtem miziz kivoda. In order that you suckle and be satiated from the breast of her consolation. In order that you suck and enjoy her glory. Ziz is a very difficult word and I'm not translating it. So the idea here is that those who love Jerusalem and who have mourned for her all the years will now enjoy the benefit of Yerushalayim. The benefit here, which is described as Yerushalayim as the mother of the Jewish people. Pasuk Yud Bet, excuse me. Kicho amar Hashem. Hineni note eleha kenahar shalom uchenachal shotef, kvod goyim vinaktem, al tzad tinaseu ve'al birkaim teshoashahu. Thus says Hashem, I will cause to flow towards Yerushalayim like a river of peace and like a flowing wadi, the honor of nations, and you shall suckle. You shall be carried on the side, and you shall play on the knees. That pasuk is explained in pasuk Yud Gimel. Ki isha sherimot nachamenu kein anochi anachamchem uvirushalayim tenuchamu. Just like a man whose mother consoles him, so too I will console you, and through Jerusalem you shall be consoled. So the idea here is that first God describes the idea of the benefit of Jerusalem flowing like a river. And this is the wealth of nations which is coming to Jerusalem to benefit the Jewish people. And then the Jewish people are being consoled by a mother figure. Who is this mother figure? It is God, who himself was causing the return of captives, return of Jews to Jerusalem, and who is benefiting Jerusalem. And how will people react to this? In Pasuk Yudal, the first half of the Pasuk, Uriitem v'sasli b'chem v'atzmotechem kadesha tifrachna. You shall see, your heart shall rejoice, your bones will flourish like grass. The idea of grass grows fairly quickly. Your bones and your spirits will be flourishing and happy as a result of the benefit that God will turn to Jerusalem. Interestingly, this pasuk is actually engraved on one of the walls of the Kotel Hadromi, the southern extension of the western wall, which of course is part of the original western wall of the temple enclosure. It's at the southwest corner. You can see it in the Ofel Archaeological Gardens in Yerushalayim. It was engraved on the wall at some point, probably in the 4th century of the Common Era, when the Jews thought that the temple was about to be rebuilt because of the policies of one of the Roman emperors who favored the restoration of various non-Christian cults. And the Jews thought the temple was about to be restored, and they wrote this on the walls southern part of the western wall. So you can see that pasuk there today as an expression of the Jewish people's hope for the rebuilding of the temple. The chapter now moves into its final section, and its final section deals with the judgment of the evil ones leading directly into the rebuilding of Jerusalem. This is an interesting and fascinating conceptual progression here. Let's look at it as we proceed from the middle of Pasuk Yudalad, middle of Pasuk 14. V'nod ayad Hashem et avadav, v'za'am et oivav. God's hand will be known to his enemies. In other words, God's power will be made known against his enemies, and he will show anger. Excuse me. V'nod ayad Hashem et avadav. God's hand will be made known to his servants. In other words, through all these benefits that God has bestowed upon Jerusalem, it will be clear to his servants that it is God who is doing this. But in contrast, v'za'am et oivav, he will show anger towards his enemies. So again, v'nod ayer Hashem et avadav, v'za'am et oivav, God's power will be made known to his servants, but he will act with anger towards his enemies. How is that? Pasuk tetvav. Ki hine Hashem ba'esh yavo, v'chasufa markivotav, l'hashiv b'chema apo, v'garato b'lahavei esh. This pasuk describes God coming with fire and storm to act angrily against his enemies. The idea of God's arrival through fire, through storm, through anger. Kiva pasuk explain further in pasuk tetzayin. Kiva esh Hashem nishbat, uvcharbo et kol basar verabu chalalei Hashem. Behold, God will judge through fire, and his sword will be against all the flesh of the, apparently referring to those who opposed him. Virabu chalalei Hashem, and there will be many who will be struck down by God. More specifically, pasuk yudzayin. Hamit kadashim vahamit taharim el haganot achar achat batavech ochlei besar hachazir vahasheketz vahachbar yachdav yasufu ne'um Hashem. Those who purify themselves in the gardens. This refers to those we spoke about in Perak Samachay, those who sacrifice to God in the gardens, who seem to be engaging in some sort of fertility cult to God, various goddesses. Now, achar achat batavech, after one in the middle is quite a difficult phrase. It's not quite unclear what it refers to. Some action of the sacrificial cult performed in the middle of something. Ochlei basar hachazir v'ashekets v'ha'achbar is fairly clear. Those who eat the meat of pigs, of creepy crawly animals, and of mice, yachdav yasufunu mashem, they will all perish together, says God. So this is God acting against those who perform the sins mentioned in Perek Samachay, who engage in forbidden sacrificial cult, and also in eat forbidden foods. V'anochi ma'asehem u'machshevotehem ba'a lekabetz et kol hagoyim v'halashonot uva'u v'ra'u et kvodi. Here the syntax is very difficult. As to me, God says, their deeds and their thoughts come. What is the meaning of this phrase? It seems to be that as a result of their deeds and their actions, God will perform the following acts. So as their deeds and their actions cause the following. God caused God to gather all the nations and the tongues, and they shall come and they shall see my glory, God's glory. V'samtiva hem ot, I shall place a sign in their midst. V'shilachti mehem pleitim el hagoyim tarshish pul v'lud moshchei keshet tuval v'yavan ha'ayim arechokim asher lo shamu et shim'i v'lo ra'u et kivodi v'yigidu et kivodi b'goyim. So how will God effect the plan he outlined in Pasuk Yudchet? How will God gather all the nations from around the world to come and see God's glory? God says as follows, I will make a sign out of those whom I am punishing. Out of those whom I am punishing, I will choose certain refugees, v'shilachti mehem pleitim, I will take certain refugees from them, and I will send those refugees out to the nations, and there's a whole list of nations here, to Tarshish, to Pul, to Lud, to those who draw the bow, which refers perhaps to Meshech, a land in the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula, Tuval v'Yavan, the farthest isles, which have not heard my name and haven't seen my glory. So these refugees from the battle that God will wage against the evildoers, these refugees will be sent as announcers to all the nations to speak of God's power. In other words, they themselves, having suffered God's power and having been the recipient of divine anger, can well attest to God's anger among all the nations in the world. And all these nations will come and will see God's... They will hear about God's power and God's honor. So God's honor will be announced by those who are the refugees from God's punishment. And what will the nations of the world do when, upon hearing of this judgment that God has executed and the enormous power that he has shown in his executing of judgment against the evil ones? Pasuk Kaf. Ve'hiviu et kol achechem mikol hagoyim. Mincha l'Hashem basusim uvarechev uvatzabim uvaperadim uvakirkarot. Al har kodshi Yerushalayim amar Hashem. Let's look at this pasuk in two sections. It's a very, very important and difficult pasuk. So these nations who will now have heard of God's glory by means of the refugees from God's punishment, these nations will now bring together with all the Jews who will be ingathered from all the nations. So in other words, the Gentiles together with the Jews and the exiled Jews will all together bring what? They will bring a present to God, a tribute act to God. What will the tribute consist in? They will bring this tribute in horses and in chariots and in carriages and on mules and on fast-going horses. All of these they will bring to my holy mountain, says God. In other words, they will bring their tribute in these very elegant modes of conveyance to Yerushalayim. And will their tribute be accepted? After all, they don't know the laws of sacrifices. And that answer is given in the second part of the pasuk, just as Bnei Yisrael bring a meal offering in a pure vessel to the house of God. That is the analogy to the tribute that these nations are bringing. So the idea is that just as God accepts from the Jews a meal offering brought in a pure vessel, so too will he accept the tribute that all these nations are bringing. This is a fascinating idea, that God accepts the tribute of all the nations, just as he accepts the tribute of the exiled Jews being brought to Yerushalayim. Here too, as we saw in Parak Samach, the return of exiles is connected with the making of Yerushalayim into a chief city in the world, a city towards which other nations of the world bring tribute. V'gam mehem ekach lakohanim lalvi'im, amar Hashem. And I will also take some of them as kohanim and lvi'im, says God. This is a fascinating idea. What does it mean that the nations of the world will be kohanim and lvi'im? It would appear simplest to understand this as a metaphor. I will take some of these nations who have come to me as priests, as servants of mine, who will be on the level of priests and Levim. Of course, this evades the theological challenge here, which seems to be that in upshot level, at least, the Navi is contradicting the basic principle that Kohanim and Levim are of Jewish descent. Nevertheless, that seems to be at least the apparent meaning of the pasuk. In order to create a consistent theological message, we could perhaps understand it metaphorically. Continuing pasuk kaf bet, ki ha'asher hashamayim hachadashim ve'aretz hachadasha asher ani oseh omdim lefanai ne'um Hashem ken ya'amod zarachem b'shimchem. Just as the new sky and the new land which I create stands before me, says God, so too your children and your name will stand before me. In other words, we saw earlier that there's this idea of a new heavens and a new earth God is creating, referring to the new reality God will generate when the return of exiles takes place. So God is saying here that just as the new heavens and new earth which I create stand before me, so too your name and your descendants will stand before me. Just as the new earth and new heavens will be lasting and will not pass away quickly, so too your descendants and your memory will stand before me as something permanent and lasting. There will be continuity to your name and to your descendants. Of course, the large question here is, to whom is God addressing this phrase? Who is the you here? Whose descendants and whose children is God speaking of here? And it seems to be all those who have returned to Jerusalem, whether they are the Gentiles who bring tribute to Jerusalem or the Jews who have returned with the Gentiles to Jerusalem. All of these groups are being brought to Jerusalem, and it is their descendants and their memory which will be lasting in Yerushalayim. This corresponds to the message we saw in chapter 55, which speaks about that God giving a Yad Vashem b'veiti v'chamotai, God placing a memorial in his temple to the Gentiles who join the Jewish people here, or to those who convert. Here God is speaking about the same idea: your descendants and your children will stand before me. Pasuk Kaf Gimel. V'haya midei chodesh b'chodesho midei shabbat b'shabbato Yavocho basar lishtachavot lefanai, amar Hashem. It shall be that every month, every Rosh Chodesh, and every Shabbat, all humans, all flesh, will come to bow before me, says Hashem. So this idea of the entire world recognizing divine sovereignty in the temple is certainly the overall theme of Sefer Yeshayahu, the world recognizing God's sovereignty, and it's an appropriate conclusion for Sefer Yeshayahu. Of course, it's not the conclusion of Sefer Yeshayahu. There's one more pasuk, and this pasuk relates a particular mahalach, particular logical procedure that we saw in this chapter. Chapter 24. When all these people come to bow before God, they shall come to Yerushalayim, and they shall see the corpses of the people who sinned against God, because their the worms that eat their corpses will not die, and their smoke will not be, or the fire will not be extinguished, and they shall be a mention of a negativity for all human beings. This is the particular procedure that we saw, where the God's judgment against the evildoers causes the return to Jerusalem of the exiled Jews, as well as the bringing of tribute to Jerusalem by Gentiles. And as the custom to conclude the Haftarah with the mention of the penultimate Pasuk, V'haya midei chodesh b'chodsho, midei shabbat b'shabbato, yavocho basar lishtachavot lefanai, amar Hashem. It shall be every month on Rosh Chodesh, and every Shabbat on Shabbat, every week on Shabbat, all flesh will come to bow before me, says Hashem.